Welcome to the Butts and Seats podcast, episode number 134.
But does this count as a canon episode?
Yeah, but these are numbered ones, okay. But it's a Russo reprieve, or I guess it's really more of a WCW reprieve.
It is a WCW reprieve. We are skipping off the WCW line for a second.
Yeah, a little out of order. We kind of did this before where it felt weird to have the cliffhanger of Final Russo Nitro, and then, like, no, actually first we're going to do this. So.
Right.
We figured do that first and go back in time one day. So we still actually are in Russo time.
But just, this is not encumbered by
no.
Russo.
He has nothing to do with the show.
Anyway, we're watching ECW.
Yes, ECW, Anarchy Rules.
Anarchy.
2000. Which apparently is their highest grossing attendance pay-per-view.
Oh.
Yeah, we have no buy rate information for this anymore. Or I don't think it ever did, but... It was 4,600 fans in attendance, which is better than some WCW shows.
I mean, it's also better than all the TNA shows. But yes, it's definitely better than WCW.
There's been a TNA show
in the Impact Zone.
Well, they did one in St. Louis. Lockdown was there. I forget what the attendance was for that. Mm.
Yeah, apparently, it did feel like there were a lot more people in this arena.
I think it was deceptively shot,
maybe.
But yeah. Apparently, the live gate for this was $165,000 for tickets.
Okay.
So what's the math on that, Emily?
Oh, I don't know. Can we pull out my calculator?
That's an average ticket price of like $36 a ticket.
That's pricey for 2000.
Yeah, I was going to say. Especially compared to, WCW and the paper and half the other seats.
Yeah, seriously. That's like how much it costs to go to the zoo today. And even that, I'm like, woof, that's expensive.
Didn't realize your metric of spending was in zoos.
Well, I went to the zoo last week, and the cost to get in was like $30. I was like, oh my god, do I really want to go to the zoo that bad?
But today's Anarchy Rules took place on October 1st, 2000, from St. Paul, Minnesota. And based on what we saw, apparently you also could have just watched it a couple days later on TNN.
Yeah, we skipped to the actual TV show of ECW and skimmed through it a little bit, and it really was just recapping this pay-per-view.
And well, recapping may sound like, oh, it was cut up. It was just the matches, like some of them, but...
Not all of them.
Yeah, I was trying to find the Cyrus, this show is canceled clip, and apparently that's not on the TNN show, it's on the other one.
Well...
Yeah, I do have a couple backstage notes, more or less about the future of ECW.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah. Because apparently this week, the head of TNN, who, if you've forgotten, Raw is now on TNN as well. Mm-hmm. He went on Wrestling Observer Live and says there are no plans for ECW to air on TNN after the show on the 6th. And, yep.
He's correct.
Yep. So, I think they're just airing in, like, local markets now.
Okay.
And Super Crazy and Tajiri finally have their visas again.
Just in time.
Yeah. Well, Super Crazy not on this show. Tajiri is.
Yeah.
But apparently it was just Paul did the paperwork.
As much as I love Paul Heyman, and I genuinely do love Paul Heyman, I don't feel like he's a good person to work for.
No.
And, like, everything I hear about ECW, like, we already know that he didn't pay his guys and all that stuff, but just, like, little stuff, like, do your paper, like, get your guys their visas to actually work. Like, you don't have to pay them, you just have to do their paperwork. He doesn't seem like a paper pusher.
Yeah, and I think it's not going to help that this show did, you know, the biggest live gate for any pay-per-view, and it's like, all right, well, can you pay us now?
No. I think it's better that he went to WWF because he's not in charge and he can just be himself. And he is at his best when he is just his character. I really want him to write a book.
He's still too involved.
I want him to write a book so badly.
Also, I think, as you noted before, it's going to be called Exhibit A.
Yeah, but still.
Oh, we didn't really note it in the last episode because it was an ECW show. But this is the first ECW show we reviewed since Sabu died.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. There are some unfortunate questions about responsibility of companies and people, and we'll put that aside.
Sure.
Not our place.
I remember when we watched the Ric Flair match, we were both kind of like, this should not be happening.
Yeah.
I'm imagining this is kind of the same thing.
He wasn't quite as old, but Sabu was his own creature, his own guy. There was a great story I just heard yesterday of Lance Storm talking about Sabu and Sabu's way of doing things. And Lance Storm, you know, has had a move where he'd run up the turnbuckle, hit a back elbow, and Sabu was like, okay, when you do that, I'm going to, like, do my thing at the same time, and we're going to, like, crash into each other, and then all the crowd's going to say, you fucked up. Lance is like, well, you know, I pride myself on not botching, but, you know, you're my senior here, so, yeah. So they do this spot in the match, the crowd chants, you fucked up, and Sabu's going, hey, we got him. It's like, that's the perfect Sabu story.
Aww.
Well, yeah, he would just fuck up on purpose sometimes. Just
to get the pop.
For the lulz.
Oh, I like that. for the lulz.
And, I mean, it also did help where now when I watch a Sabu match, I'm like, are you fucking up on purpose? Or are you
he rewrote his own legacy.
I am sad that we're not going to see him because things ended shitty with him in original ECW, but they brought him back for WWE ECW, and you actually just saw his one and only WrestleMania match.
Yes, the one ECW match on WrestleMania 23, which was...
You could make a case for in the history of WrestleMania, because the Bobby Lashley match on that one is not an ECW match.
The only one.
Yeah, next year you're going to get ECW champion Chavo Guerrero versus Kane in 8 seconds.
Jesus.
And then the year after that, they have the ECW champion in Money in the Bank.
Jesus.
So, yeah. Anyway, we are talking about original ECW, because that's all the backstage notes I have. I don't have much, because it overlaps with a lot of the Nitro.
Yeah.
Admittedly, we did not watch the Dark Show match, even though it was available on that next episode of TV. We kind of just skimmed that. But it was Nova defeating Bilvis Wesley.
Sorry?
Bilvis Wesley.
Bilvis?
Bilvis.
What is his character? Moving on. I need to know, is it like a Beavis and Butthead thing? Are they going off that? Is he just like a redneck? Like, I have a lot of questions about Bilvis.
Well, let's also address that one elephant in the room. We are past the point of me knowing all the guys in ECW. So
oh, yeah.
Very much people are going to come in and I look up, who the fuck is this guy? Like, in our first match, we have Christian York. And I'm like, who the fuck's Christian York? Oh, he's known for being Christian York. And
he's
just
a guy.
Yeah. So we're kind of back to, I guess, the original purpose of me wanting to do the ECW episodes of if you don't want to watch WWE, your alternatives are ECW and WCW.
Right.
And so I kind of want to view it through that lens of, hey, we got invited over to a buddy's place. Anarchy Rules is on tonight. Let's check it out.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. And that is kind of how we watched this, honestly. Yeah. So
we start the main show. Joey Styles and Joel Gertner welcome us.
Oh, God.
Do you have any quotes from Mr. Gertner on this one?
I did not take any quotes. It's just like, this is fucking Joel Gertner, pervy as ever.
You know, his heart didn't seem as into this one. I think he was trying to go for, I have serious business later. I don't know. It just didn't seem as fun, so it came off a little grosser.
It was really nasty. I don't like Joel Gertner. I know that he is, like, beloved in ECW, but ugh.
The thing is, I only ever want to see him do this promo, and then you're done.
Yeah, that's true.
Come to your fun little, you know, slimy limerick, and then go away.
I think it's important to note that I think I saw a total of 3 women in the audience.
Yeah.
Listen, I've told Nick many a time that I want to go back in time and sit front row at an ECW show. Like, I think that is one of my, like, goals. If I had a time machine, that's what I would do. I don't think I would love it in the moment of, like, the energy around me, but, like, I still want to be there. Especially for, like, a Sandman entrance, that's what I want.
So, see, with a Sandman entrance, you can be wherever. It's a 50-50 shot, he's going to run by you.
That's true, but if I stay front row, there's more of a chance.
Oh, I will note, because this is going to come up during the show. We started watching this show on Peacock. And about halfway through, we flipped over to a shitty DVD rip, or I guess live rip, because the audio overlay for the, you know, the songs getting swapped, they made no effort to transport commentary at all.
No. And, like, we kind of comment on the dubbing for the music in WCW when we notice it, when it happens, but it's not so obvious because we can hear what's going on still. So, like, you have to point out to me when a song is, like, not the original song. Like, I think it's Sting has that issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Sting has his original theme. So that one is at least not a little, you know, Ernest the Cat Miller.
Right. Right. I don't notice it as much in WCW. This one, I was like, I kept looking down, taking notes, waiting for commentary to pop in and be like, this match is scheduled for one fall or something like
or
that.
Or like, here's the story. And that's something. And that's what we struggled with was matches were happening. And we're like, okay, this just feels like a bunch of exhibition matches.
Exactly. And like, I'd be looking down, taking a note, and I'd hear the bell go sometimes and be like, oh shit, the match has started. I don't even know who's in the ring.
We do get the original music for Joey Styles saying, tonight, anarchy rules. And then we get a lengthy ECW opening and like,
yes.
It didn't really feel like an opening video package for the show. It just felt like this is their normal opening.
It's hard to say, though, because we don't watch the ECW stuff.
Well, I'm saying it didn't seem custom cut
to
this.
Oh, it was not custom for this pay-per-view. Yeah. It might have been a new package, but it was not custom for Anarchy Rules. Oh, before we get into the first match, what are the rules for Anarchy Rules?
There are no rules.
Thank you.
Now, ECW in general, there is no DQ on any match.
Okay.
That has always been a thing. I know.
But
we're going to get
referees.
Into
that. There are referees.
Well, yeah. Someone has to count the pin.
That's all. Right?
Yes. I guess they are trying to maintain...
decorum.
Some, yeah. In the mat, like, just a sense of, like, let's keep this a little structured. We'll talk about that as it happens. Because, yeah.
The rules are there are no rules. Anarchy is the rule.
Emily, it's just lax rules.
No, it's not, though.
It's just the relaxed rules.
No. Different company, different thing.
Let's go into our first match. It is the aforementioned Christian York and Joey Matthews, a.k.a. Joey Mercury, versus Roadkill and Danny Doring.
You love Roadkill.
I do.
He's such a boy for you.
Yeah, we get some very shitty dubbing to start. It cuts out all commentary. I'm like, love to hear what's happening here, who these guys
we'll
are.
Never know.
Who the fuck is Christian York? Nope.
Who the fuck is Christian York?
We get Doring and Matthews starting. They chain wrestle, and Matthews hits a head scissors and a dropkick. Almost like very early on, it's like Danny Doring just low blow. It's like, oh yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, and I'm fine with there being low blows. It's when they distract the referee. Where I'm like, why are we distracting the referee? And well, I don't know that they did that in this match, but like in general.
Yeah, I mean, I get when the manager does it to like stop a pin from being counted.
Exactly,
but, like,
that I'm fine with.
Yeah,
but
the like we're gonna come in and therefore. Like you need some hard referees who like beat the shit out of you. You need New Jack in every match.
No, you do not.
Did you catch a couple of Doring's named moves?
No, I really didn't.
He hits a G-spot sweep.
Oh, my.
And he tags in Roadkill. Christian York tags in as well. York keeps slipping out of Roadkill's grip and counters a vault into the corner with a springboard leg drop. But Roadkill hits a front slam and a side slam to the, I called them the Young Boys. I don't know what else.
The Young Boys?
I don't have a team name.
The Little Guys.
I don't want to keep saying Christian York and Joey Matthews every time.
Oh, I have their team name. Oh. It's the Bad Street Boys. Like, genuinely, that is their name. I looked it up on Wikipedia. Remember when I was getting mad at you for not telling me the name of Christian York? I went on Wikipedia.
Even though I did.
You were telling me the history of Joey Matthews. Anyway, yeah, it's the Bad Street Boys.
Wait a minute. We've reviewed an ECW show that had...
The Bad Street Boys?
No, it had Joey Mercury.
Yeah, I don't want the history of Joey Mercury. No. I just want a Christian York's name.
Well, no, I'm saying we've reviewed an ECW match of his.
Okay.
It was
Is it him, fucking December to Dismember?
Yes, it was him myself. And Johnny Nitro versus the Hardys, which legend has it to this day, that match is still going. I looked like a big sip for Celsius there.
God, I forgot. I have blacked out December to Dismember. I forgot how long that fucking match was.
Danny Doring tags in, and him and Roadkill basically hit a heart attack. Doring dived to the floor, his dodge, just sending him onto the concrete. I was like, ow. Like, even the crowd was like, oh, shit. The Bad Street Boys hit tandem dives onto Roadkill and Doring. They then hit, like, a hip-toss powerbomb on Doring, and Roadkill breaks up the celebration with his top rope clothesline, which he just kind of, like, balances for. I'm like, this is awesome. Roadkill hits a power slam, and Doring hits a diving leg drop and eats one from York. The Bad Street Boys hit an assisted Brett's Rope suplex splash and diving senton, and then Doring hits a double underhook something.
Something.
And it's like it's somewhere between a mix of like a DDT and neckbreaker and facebuster. It was just like,
it's
all
just
right.
It's a fuck 'em up move. I don't know.
Gets the hot tag to Roadkill. Roadkill hits the barn burner and a powerbomb. He then splashes the two in the corner. Doring hits a franchiser type move. Doesn't look good.
Yeah.
But does look better than the franchiser.
Yes, exactly.
Roadkill and Doring hit an assisted wheelbarrow diving leg drop combo, which may have been called the buggy bash.
Yeah, we had a lot of debate on what commentary said this move was called. So you said he's an Amish character.
Yes.
So buggy bash makes sense.
Yeah. Depending on when it is, he's sometimes listed as Amish Roadkill.
Okay. So we're going to go with it called Buggy Bash.
I'm realizing Amish Roadkill, you really got to kind of attempt that. Because it's either the horse or the buggy running something over. And how fast are you going?
Well, it also depends on what you're running over.
Post-match, the two teams shake hands and it's like, oh, okay, I guess everyone was a face there. Because I didn't get the vibe anyone was a heel.
Nick is still desperately trying to find heel-face dynamics.
Well, here come the heels. Simon and Swigger come in, just lay everybody out.
Simon like, Nyman!
Why were you guys here?
It's our boy Simon Nyman, who we just saw on TNA.
Yeah. This match was, it was nothing special. It wasn't bad, but yeah, the post-match beatdown just felt so random for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that was really random. Honestly, this was a fun opening match. I stand by that the most important match in a pay-per-view is the opening match. Like, yes, the main event is important for selling, but the first match is always the most important for vibe setting and energy setting. And I think this was a good one to start with.
Yeah, I just, for whatever reason, I was a little arms crossed through the first bit of this show.
And yeah, you were a little grumpy watching it. I don't really know why, but
I thought it was fine. I think it is just an element of like, I mean, I know Roadkill's in this, but it's like all my faves are gone and they're my faves because they are very good.
Yeah.
So just like, it feels like the talent pool is just lesser.
Yeah, valid. But no, overall, fun and high energy. They did the best they could with what they had.
We didn't get Joey and Joel talking about Joel's match and Gertner's eating Lucky Charms.
Oh yeah, did we mention that Joel has a match with Cyrus later?
I guess I'm half mentioned he has a match, but we not mentioned it is with Cyrus.
Yeah, so that's going to be a fun match later.
Yeah, he's eating Lucky Charms and he's like, oh, it's because of I being trained by a wrestler. And
so, yeah, he says he's eating this box of Lucky Charms because it's part of his training regimen. And when you figure out who his trainer is, it will make sense. So immediately I go like, racist Finley? Like, who's Irish right now?
Yeah, this was a bit of a stretch.
This was a huge stretch.
And it really had almost no payoff.
Correct. I think he just wanted to eat some Lucky Charms.
Cyrus then comes out to the ring with a mic. He talks shit to Joel Gertner. He says everyone at TNN says he's got pop.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Cyrus calls Gertner a fat bitch, which gets censored.
And
then
yes,
a line
noted.
Later, he says bitch again, and it's fine.
We're still on the Peacock rip, though.
Yes.
But again, we also noted that the editors for ECW on Peacock don't give a fuck. So maybe they caught the first one and they didn't catch the second one because they weren't paying attention.
I would love a gimmick of Cyrus is the only one who's uncensored. Everyone else gets bleeped besides him.
No, Uncensored's a different show, babe.
We don't have any more of those. Cyrus calls Gertner a stupid son of a bitch. Doesn't get bleeped. And it's like, all right, well, like our match like might not happen. You think it's going to be that easy to fight me? Cyrus tells Joel he needs to get through his men.
His men. Like, what? Who are your men?
So out comes Easy Money and some fucking lads.
Just some guys.
And Elektra.
And Elektra, yeah, some guys and a lady.
One of them is called Julio De Niro, which I'm like, that's basically Easy Money. I have a different name.
Wait, yeah. Easy Money and Julio De Niro.
I did not get who the third guy's name was.
There were three guys.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I thought it was two guys in Elektra.
No. Out comes Commissioner Little Spike Dudley.
Hey, yo.
Who, on the rip, comes out to Highway to Hell.
I mean, which is great for Spike Dudley. I love seeing a Dudley. They make me but happy.
He's like, I'm only commissioner as long as I'm injured. And I'm like, that. I feel like you've diminished your own power right there.
Yeah. But I think he was trying to say it as like, listen, I'm only in this role until I'm better. And then I kick your ass. Like, something like that.
But it just sounds like he doesn't want to be commissioner.
He might not want to be.
Spike says Cyrus's men will have to fight someone of his choosing one-on-one, and his name is Kid, which I'm not doing the big yell for.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly. How did it?
Well, he says it the way the Kid Rock song goes with the bomba-da-ba.
I don't remember there being a yell in that song. I just know the bomba-da-ga-bomba-da-ga-ga-ga-ga.
It's in the opening bit.
Yes, I'm not a Kid Rock fan.
It's in like the 45-second intro to that song.
Listen, I am a white girl who used to live in the South, but I am not a Kid Rock fan.
So Easy Money's opponent is going to be Kid Cash. Cash hits a tilt-a-whirl early on and counters a powerbomb with an arm drag that sends Easy Money to the floor. Money hits a suplex drop, but Cash sends him to the floor and hits a double springboard somersault plancha.
Nice.
Which, I wrote that down, and then Joey Styles said it, and I went, yes.
Nice. I know wrestling moves.
Back in the ring, Cash hits a springboard clothesline, but eats a buckshot lariat. I'm like, oh, just because Hangman Page is watching, taking notes. And then Logan Paul is watching that and taking his notes. Easy Money then locks in what looks to be like a pendulum submission that then just like drops him and puts in a lesser rest hold. It's like, oh, okay. Cash hits a springboard sunset flip and a springboard Hurricane Rana.
I love a Hurricane Rana.
And then a nice running tornado DDT for a two. Cash gets tripped up, hits a spinning suplex neck breaker, but Cash hits a whisper in the wind and another springboard sunset flip. This man does not want to sell for anything.
No, but honestly, all his flippy Hurricane Rana shit, like, it's good. I'll take it. I don't care.
Cash hits a moneymaker, which is a double underhook pile driver, but the ref gets distracted.
Who cares? Why? Why do we care? Why?
Julio De Niro hits, I swear Joey Styles calls it a Prussian leg sweep, but I'm like...
A Prussian?
I'm like, is he Prussian?
Are they trying to make some sort of joke about how it's like not quite Russian?
I don't know, but the heels double team Cash behind the ref's back. This is where I was like, why?
Why? Why do we care? Who cares? Anarchy, I thought.
Cash crotches Easy Money, but gets low blowed. Easy Money goes for a powerbomb from the top rope, but mid-air, Kid Cash turns it into a Hurricane Rana.
Oh my god.
And you were like, what the fuck was that?
That was sick. I loved that.
And that gets Kid Cash the win. It's like, okay, we are going to get Joel Gertner versus Cyrus.
Yeah, there was never a chance that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, no. That would have been really shit if you
were there. Yeah, we got some cool Hurricane Ranas out of it.
The heel group attacks Kid Cash post-match. Spike Dudley runs out, hits an acid drop on Julio De Niro, and then gets chop locked from behind. And it's like, his leg is worked over. I'm like, aren't you injured?
Yeah.
We didn't get the Sandman running
Hell
out.
Hell yeah.
Just kills all the heels of the kendo stick. No notes.
No notes. Absolutely love this man.
Wait, maybe notes, because he points the stick at Elektra then. And I'm like, oh no. And she's like, okay, I'll blow you, I guess.
Oh, like, yeah. She, like, shimmies down him to, like, give him a blowjob. I'm like, girl.
I was ready for, a low blow. No pun intended.
Yeah. You were. And I could have seen that happening, too. But no, yeah. She's just
she
being,
takes
like,
so much time. I'm like, well, clearly you're trying to distract him.
She's just being like, no, please don't hit me. I'll do anything. Ew.
So, Sandman, one hand, cracks a beer, pours it on her chest, then takes Joel Gertner's face and rubs his face in Elektra's boobs.
Listen,
which incapacitates her, we should note.
Oh, yeah. Incapacitates both of them. Like, Joel also kind of, like, flops out of it.
Well, to me, that was, like, a horny flare flop kind of thing.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. There's just something about Sandman, man.
Sandman brings Cyrus in the ring, and the advertised match starts.
Oh, yeah. Immediately after.
Gertner spears Cyrus and then takes off his shirt to reveal a Kamala tribute. Because it has the stars and the moon, so Lucky Charms.
So Lucky Charms. So, did you catch commentary what Joey Styles said about Gertner
in that first move?
So he does a spear to Cyrus to start the match, essentially. And on commentary, they go, take a look at Joelberg.
Do you like Joelberg or Gertberg better? I feel like Gertberg more represents, like, it sounds a little gross. And you're like,
no, but it also sounds almost too close to Goldberg. It's almost like a Gilberg sort of vibe, so like, are you making fun or are you giving tribute? It's like Joelberg, I think, is better.
Well, Gertner then goes for the fucking people's elbow, taking off his neck brace, which he's always in. And Cyrus trips him up and then like works him over with some stiff kicks that actually looked good. And I had to look. I'm like, did he used to wrestle? He did. Okay.
Yeah.
He became the manager pretty quick after. Cyrus chops Gertner in the corner, but Sandman spits beer in the eye of Cyrus and Gertner rolls him up for the win.
Woo!
The faces all drink beers to not enter Sandman on Peacock, but enter Sandman on the night.
Yeah.
And, like, they're drinking there for a bit. And it's like, oh, okay.
Isn't it amazing how Sandman actually drinks his beer? Steve.
Thoughts on, I guess, each of the matches?
The Joel Cyrus, that was nothing. That was not anything, honestly. And the ending was fun.
The thing is, it didn't feel that cathartic.
No, it wasn't cathartic.
Because it was like, you rolled them up. Ooh, you really got one. It's like, no. Yeah.
No, that one wasn't cathartic. It was fun watching them drink beer at the end. The match before it, like, it was really just Kid Cash for me. Like,
yeah.
Easy Money, I don't know. But the flips that Kid Cash was doing was, like, fucking sick.
It did just seem like, watch him do some cool moves. And psychology? What's that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think this whole show is kind of missing that psychology element.
Yeah.
I think that's a good note.
That's kind of just a problem with a lot of ECW.
Yeah, but they make up for it sometimes in just like, this is sick, you know? But I think that's a good note of like why this kind of felt like a weird show.
And going back to the Gertner match, I think if you would actually have him hit some sort of move and beat Cyrus for real, I'd make like a second rope splash, just something.
Something, yeah.
that isn't like, oh, you got like you got one over on him. It's like, no, you should beat him.
Especially because he's saying that he got trained by Kamala.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of burying Kamala, isn't it? Like, did he actually train you? Did you do anything with him?
No. One, probably not. Two, Kamala's not that good.
I know, but like when you say you've been trained to wrestle, like, show a move.
So you know how the Kid Cash match was all fun moves?
Yeah,
let's move on to our next match. It's DaBaldi's.
DaBaldi's.
Versus, did we come up with a fun name for these two?
I didn't come up with a, they didn't have a team name.
It's Balls Mahoney and Chili Willy.
There's a dick joke there.
Oh, DaBaldi's is made up of Angel and Tony DeVito.
It's just DaBaldi's.
DaBaldi's are the heels. Balls and Willy are are the faces. The faces double strike DaBaldi's and hit double neck breakers. And Balls Mahoney has a fork.
Oh, he got that from catering.
Yeah, you immediately were like, oh no. Yeah, and Balls just hits fork strikes on both men, and we do see the referee absolutely pick up a blade at one point.
Yeah, because you can't just fork somebody in the head. You have to gouge open a wound.
Yeah, you know, actually, hold on. I'm realizing this. The one nice thing.
Mm.
If they bladed, it means he didn't actually get him like New Jack would.
Yeah.
So it must have been a bit safer.
Or something.
Balls also hits a diving fork shot and drops DeVito into the crowd. And remember how I said this match is Tony DeVito and Angel versus Balls Mahoney and Chili Willy?
Yeah.
For the next 95% of this match, no, it's not. It's just Balls Mahoney and Tony DeVito.
Yes.
We do not see Angel and Chili Willy until the last second.
Yeah, they go out to the audience, right? And just fuck off whatever's going on in the ring.
Like, we hear a chair shot somewhere. Don't see it. Balls and DeVito head into the crowd. Balls bites the open wound.
Ugh.
DeVito hits a drop toe hold or something, sending Balls and a drink flying into, like, a cabinet.
Ugh.
DeVito hits, like, a kind of a lame moonsault off the elevated stage after telling commentary to go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, we actually do cut to Angel and Willy, because Angel hits a powerbomb on Willy onto the ringside chairs, and he's like, oh, that just, they were padded, did not look fun still,
yeah.
Just like the physics of how chairs bend.
It's that ongoing debate of, does it hurt more to get hit with a steel chair or a padded chair?
Well, my thought was, you're gonna be lucky if you hit the pads. I think you're hitting the frame of it more than you're hitting the pad.
That's more stable and sturdy.
Especially when it's set up.
Yeah.
Balls and DeVito end up in the ring, and DeVito headbutts Balls, but it has no effect, much like using Spore on a Delibird.
Ah.
See, Delibird, ice flying type, you'd think, oh, whatever, like, it'll work. No, see, it has two different abilities that make it so it can't sleep. Balls hits his Balls punches, crotches DeVito on the top rope, and whatever Balls is going for, it gets countered, but he hits a super kick, and Balls hits a massive chair shot on DeVito. And then we get Angel coming in from behind.
See, this is where I just nope out.
He uses a staple gun on Balls' eye, according to commentary. We never got a close-up. We can't confirm it. The Baldies hit the... Oh, I'm sorry. I called them the knobs.
The knobs.
The Baldies hit Willy and Balls with chair shots, and they don't sell until the third one, and the Baldies win. Yeah, not our favorite match.
No, listen, I love hardcore wrestling as much as the next guy. Don't fucking fork my blade job or staple gun my eye. That's not fun to me.
Yeah, it didn't help that we didn't see half the match for this. Like, we cut to them once and we're like, that's it.
Yeah, that's so true.
That kind of hurt a little bit of the enjoyment of the match, but yeah, your main issue is the fork and...
Yeah. I have a really hard time with anything eye-related. I don't do well with eye-related violence. It ekes me out more than anything else.
Do you remember the whole
Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio's eye? Yeah, I remember.
We popped the eye out.
I remember. Nick, I remember.
Do you remember they had... do you remember they had Seth Rollins do it and then puke after? Like, oh my
yes,
God.
I do. I do. I remember that match viscerally. That's like the one thing from the pandemic era that I really, really remember.
We then get Joey Styles and Joel Gertner chatting, and for some reason, Joel Gertner is just attacked by Louis Dangerously, who you thought was Paul Heyman at first. And
because we only saw him from behind at first, so I was like, oh my God, Paul! No.
We We then cut to the production truck where
very quickly. This is like chaos.
Yeah, it looks like Paul Heyman is mad, but it's shot so darkly in there that I can't tell if it's him or who. Like,
we're supposed to believe that it's Paul Heyman.
Because I also don't know if Paul is here, because he was kind of like not shown up a bunch of these shows, so that may have also been by design that Paul's not here, but they want to continue that story, so it's somebody else just with, in like a ponytail.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been anybody in a ponytail, black cap, and like an oversized jacket. That could have been anybody.
Hard cut to Just Incredible and Francine and audio issues.
Yes, we don't know what they say. For a little while.
Yeah, he more or less says Jerry Lynn can't win the big one and is going to lose in his hometown. We then go to Jerry Lynn, who says like he's not satisfied with his position. He's like tired of being a star maker. He wants to be
the star.
Yeah. My exact note is, and he will music become champion. Because music just plays like right over him. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that is a choice from Peacock, because cut from Peacock, because there's music playing under this whole segment. Cyrus joins commentary, and they have a whole back and forth with him and Joey.
Yeah, and if you miss that little bit, you have no idea why the fuck Cyrus is on commentary.
Yeah, you just go to the next match, and you hear him, and you go, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
Yeah, because then we cut to his actual music for, it's C.W. Anderson versus, apparently now babyface, Steve Corino, with Jack Victory and Dawn Marie.
Sure.
And it's like, okay, so the face has the entourage and outnumbers the heel. Like, that's not good psychology there.
I mean, no, but it's...
Admittedly, they don't get involved. They don't help him cheat, so they at least
that's
have
what I'm trying to say. Like, they don't cheat. They're just there.
We get proper ring introductions once everyone's in the ring. And, like, yeah, I did go off the crowd, like, popping for Carino. I'm like, okay, I guess he's that.
Yeah, we have no idea who's heel and face because we don't have the stories.
Yeah. That said, we do know that C.W. Anderson is 29 years old here.
29 going on 50. My God, this
a
guy.
A modern-day Greg Valentine.
Woof.
How is he so young?
Yeah, this man that we're watching is technically younger than you and I are right now.
Yeah.
This poor man needs some skincare.
Oh, Emily had a moment in the liquor store the other day because they're like, we ID anybody under 30. And you're like, that's not me anymore.
Oh, I got one foot in the grave. They don't even want to see my identification.
The two trade counters for the first minute or so until a stare down. Then trade strikes and chops until a CW super kick. Anderson grabs a chair, but then just throws it down. Like, all right, not going to use this yet. Carino attempts a 10-punch spot, but is stopped, but still manages to hit a T-bone suplex. I noticed like that's a lot of my note for ECW, is he tries a thing, gets stopped, but does a different cool move.
Yeah.
Carino brings a second chair into the ring and hits Anderson with a chair into a set-up chair, so Anderson's now like sitting down.
I feel like you said chair so many times then.
Well, Anderson falls into the seated chair, and I think was supposed to stay there, but the like gravity took him a little much, and he ended up tipping over, but... He comes up bleeding, and Carino hits a leg lariat. Joey Styles suddenly notes that this is a number one contenders match. And I'm like, oh? Yeah,
that would have been nice to know at the beginning.
Yeah, I feel like that also kind of gave away for me who's going to win.
Yeah, definitely.
They fight on the outside. Carino tries for a sliding dropkick, but Anderson moves and then just fucks a chair at Carino's head. It's like, ow.
Just fucks a chair.
The two brawl more at ringside, and Carino is now bleeding.
There's got to be a better way to say that than fucks a chair.
I don't know. How do you want to describe that? When you just throw it as hard as you can, short range at somebody's face.
I don't know.
So anyway, he comes out blasting. in the ring, Anderson works over the shoulder of Carino. Anderson stomps a chair into the arm of Carino and puts a chair into Carino, which just sounds cooler than the actual spot was.
Yeah, that's kind of a lot of this match, I feel.
Carino powers up, but Anderson hits a snap T-bone. Anderson sets up a chair in the ring, but gets dropped on his balls on, like, the top of the chair, which
I've
was like...
I've got big balls. He's got big balls.
Which I was like, all right, I need to see C.W. Anderson stand next to a chair to see him. Like, all right, how hard did you take that big guy? Carino teases a bionic elbow, hits a low blow instead, and then the bionic elbow, paying tribute, I guess, to Dusty, who he feuded with.
Oh, sure.
Carino winds up for a move, but sees Jack Victory brawling with Simon and Swinger in the aisle. It's like, oh, okay,
so we're bringing
here.
Simon Diamond back.
Anderson grabs another chair after a left hand and sets up the chair. Oh, actually, this is the spot that we mentioned earlier. Carino hits a super kick, sending Anderson into the seated chair, who topples over. Like,
yeah, he hits it a little too hard and just, like, falls backward.
Yeah, clearly they wanted Carino to have hit a super kick to a seated Anderson.
Yes. And then the move that follows it is just kind of like, ah, fuck. Something.
Yeah, Carino hits a reverse DDT, which is apparently called the old school expulsion, onto the chair for the win. This is another match that like did win me over by the end, where I kind of started a little, but I'm like, okay, it got there.
It was technical and good. It was a fun watch, but like I had no stakes in this.
Yeah, it just they're having a hard time carrying my interest from match to match.
Yeah.
But Anderson just kind of keeps proving to be a good hand. I'm surprised he kind of didn't end up anywhere as a mid-lower guy.
I know, because he's not related to Arn Anderson, right?
No, but Arn Anderson isn't related to Ole Anderson either. It's like,
but they all look within 2 degrees of each other.
I think that's why you're able to get away with doing him is like, well, they're not related anyway, so what are you going to do?
But I feel like if CW was related to Arn, like maybe they would have carried him over like, oh, here's my family. I don't know. There might have been more of a pull.
Like, at least the Dudleys have the courtesy of not looking related.
Right.
So this is where you and I flipped over to the pay-per-view rip.
Yes, because we were kind of getting sick of the music being weird.
Yeah, because Carino wins, they play his dub music, and all commentary cuts out. And we're like, all right, we gotta bail on this.
We gotta bail on this. We have to just suffer with the bad quality.
And admittedly, I think the bad quality wasn't as bad as we were anticipating.
It was just really oversaturated.
That may have just been our TV.
I mean, maybe.
But we then get the Sinister Minister. He's apparently taking RVD's mic time because Van Damme's getting ready. And he's here with Mikey Whipwreck and Tajiri.
Ugh, yay.
And Mikey Whipwreck is wearing a Sorcerer Mickey hat for some reason.
Yeah, you were saying that like at a certain time, this might have been a dig at WCW because of their affiliation with Disney. But like in 2000, I don't think so.
He knows they're facing the FBI next. And they like don't really say much, but they light a book on fire.
And I mean, that spot was really cool because they didn't light the book on fire. It looked like the book just started like flames came out of the book. If that, like the book didn't look like it was engulfed in flame. It's like it was providing the flame.
They also cackle for about 2 full minutes, like way too, like cut
that
away.
That was too
cut
long.
Away.
But the fire book was very cool.
We then get Rhino backstage being terrifying.
Dude, Rhino's a fucking maniac. My God.
He's facing Rob Van Dam and is seemingly ready to murder Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, that's the vibe I got.
This is then to take Fonzie's whistle and shove it up his fucking ass.
I'm okay, like, agreed.
Geez. I'm like, okay, well, yeah. I'm like, I believe you.
I believe you, but also same.
I welcome it. to him, not to me.
Not to me, but to Fonz. Yeah, please.
If he did that when Fonzie farts, would it be a little toot?
Maybe. A little whistle toot.
The previous promo takes us to our next match. It is the FBI, which stands for?
Full-blooded Italians. Why did I went to female body inspector.
I was
going to
say. It is Little Guido and Tony Mameluke.
Tony Mameluke.
With Big Sal.
Hell yeah.
Versus the unholy alliance of Mikey Whipwreck and Tajiri. Yeah, I think we may have talked before about the many groups that have used the name the unholy alliance. The first thing that comes to my brain is Undertaker and The Big Show.
No.
And here we have Yoshihiro Tajiri and Mikey Whipwreck. Fuck, no. I'm already starting with
them. Oh, no. These are not the Unholy Alliance. Like, I feel like the Unholy Alliance should be something to do with, like, the Dungeon of Doom, you know?
Well, they have James Mitchell, so it's like, Mikey Whipwreck is meant to be, like, a more satanic character than they really, like, do anything with.
Yeah, they really don't. Like, I get that from Sinister Minister. Like, yeah, obviously that man is dancing with the devil.
And I guess Tajiri is meant to be like sneaky magic.
But we love Tajiri, so that's okay.
Well, Whipwreck and Tajiri also come out in like geisha masks, and I'm like, why?
Yeah, this was just weird.
And Whipwreck is still wearing the Sorcerer Mickey hat.
With the geisha mask. Yeah.
There's an Epcot joke to be made here, but I don't want to go too near it.
Yeah, no.
The heels bum rush the faces, and I'm realizing in hindsight, I don't know which one's which.
I think the Unholy Alliance is the heels.
Yes, because I believe there's a double turn at the end of this match.
Okay.
The FBI accidentally close on each other and eat a handful of kicks, and the Unholy Alliance hit double groin drop kicks. Tajiri locks in a tarantula, and they go to work over Guido, but Big Sal stops him. Tony gets put in a tree of woe and eats a drop kick, and then just a James Mitchell fireball to the groin.
So good.
And they didn't fuck it up.
They didn't fuck it up. It's amazing. It's not hard to not fuck up. Hogan.
It's not just Hogan.
I know it's not, but that's the most famous one that comes to mind.
See,
the Hogan Warrior, not Fireball.
That one's bad. There's also an Undertaker one that's meant to write off Paul Bearer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Tajiri hits massive kicks to Guido, including a chair to his face. Whipwreck hits Guido with a chair and then rams it into his neck. Ugh. Whipwreck goes for a 10-punch spot, but gets low-blowed and double powerbombed from the corner. Guido catches a float over and slams Whipwreck for a Sicilian slice to a Where's My Pizza chant.
Jesus.
Tony hits a snap suplex and a Russian leg sweep combo on Whipwreck. Whipwreck catches a body scissors and just face slams Tony. Guido and Tajiri tag in, and Tajiri just lights him up with kicks.
Oh my god, I love Tajiri in this match so much. He's so good.
ECW Tajiri just hits different.
He's so fucking good. He's so clean. There's nothing that Tajiri does that is not solely on purpose. He does not improvise. He knows exactly what he's going to do, and he does it. He executes it perfectly every time. Ugh.
Well, speaking of that, Tajiri goes to like hit a snap German suplex on Tony Mameluk, who just lands on his feet so quick.
Yeah.
And then hits a German on Tajiri, which Joey Styles like, you mean an Italian suplex?
Hey, yo. I still think the WCW did Tony Mameluk dirty. Like,
yeah, like he didn't wrestle.
No, not at all. And obviously he had this in him.
He's fucking shredded.
Oh my god, he's jacked. But like, he's good. And they didn't do anything with him in WCW. Tony Marinara.
I don't know. Well, this is a weird difference of verbiage. Jacked implies like big muscles. He has like just no body fat is what it is. No, he's skinny, but it's just all
muscle. It's all muscle. Like, jacked to me is like, you fucking work out, dude. Like, it is obvious that you are shredded.
Whipwreck hits a gutbuster, but Guido breaks up the pin. Guido wants a kiss of death, but gets misted like, out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
And the Unholy Alliance hit a double whippersnapper, but Sal pulls the ref out of the ring. The minister tries to hit a cane shot on Sal, but just kind of gets squashed by him because, if you've forgotten, Sal is about 1,000 pounds.
He big guy. He big Sal. Big boy.
The Alliance hit a leg flip slam on Tony, and then Tajiri just kicks everyone, throws a title belt at Sal, and then moonsaults onto Sal on the floor. Whipwreck goes for a top rope whippersnapper, but gets stopped, and the FBI hit a weird double team finisher that I think Whipwreck turns the wrong way. Because Guido kind of seems to go for a Sicilian slice, and they're going to do a, like, wheelbarrow combo with it, but Whipwreck doesn't turn down like the move would normally be. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of looks wrong, and that gets the FBI the pin, and the crowd does not fucking like that.
No, the crowd turns on the ending of this.
And I couldn't tell, was it just like the move looked weird, or do they really want Whipwreck and Tajiri to win?
It's hard to say. I really don't know. But I loved this match. I thought this was so much fun.
Because like, they also cheer for the Unholy Alliance post-match, and I'm like, was this like a double turn? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're not watching the TV to figure out if they hold on to this, but I like this match
this
a lot.
This was so much fun.
And I think, I like everybody here, but, oh, fucking, like, Tajiri's clearly going to be our fucking MVP, folks. Yeah.
I mean, this match is my best bet.
I think, I would agree, because also, like, 8-minute match, it's quick.
7 or 8 minutes, yeah, but it doesn't feel like that quick. So much happens. They really make the most of those 7 or 8 minutes.
And the helpful thing of it being a tag where, you only care so much about who's legal. It's like, okay, people can go out and sell after they hit a big move on them. It's not, well, I have to get back up because the next thing in the match has to
happen. You don't immediately start counting, like, quickly. No, this was so much fun.
And
this
minimal manager interference? Like, it all kind of made sense.
Oh, yeah. The interference made sense.
The most, like, forced interference in that match was the random fireball, which I'm like, it's fine.
But I love a fireball. I love a failed fireball. But that was a good fireball.
Yeah, it makes me sad that WWE just doesn't push Tajiri.
What do you mean? They give him, like, a weird racist Asian gimmick, don't they?
That's every Asian they sign, though.
Do they put Tajiri with Kai and Tai?
No.
Oh, okay.
They put him with Regal and Tori Wilson and...
Wow, I don't remember that.
Well, the Regal stuff is all during the invasion. Like, that's fun. The Tori stuff ends up becoming less fun because they turn him into abusive boyfriend where you need to dress for my culture and...
Tajiri?
Yeah.
I don't remember Tajiri and Tori having this is like relationship.
This is later. But
this is after we stopped watching SmackDown.
Maybe, but yeah, it's not...
Yeah, I'm good.
I mean...
Is it before or after Dawn Marie killed Tori's dad?
I forget. That said, Tori did get to come out in like silk robes for a few weeks. That might have been nice.
That might have been nice.
Let's go to a match of two people who I don't believe have ever been in a silk robe.
Or cozy. That's not true. RVD has been cozy.
He's been cozy in a hot tub with multiple women.
I'm talking about his outfit on TNA, the episode we just watched. Where he came out in his jammies. The t-shirt and his boxers.
He didn't come out in jammies, just looked like it.
It was a t-shirt and boxers.
Also, the man who like almost smokes weed for a living, he's definitely been cozy before.
Yeah, valid.
Admittedly, Rhino's chilled out so much. They're like, okay, yeah, he probably.
Yeah, right now, absolutely not. This is the kind of guy right now that like sleeps on a bed of nails and eats bolts for breakfast. I don't know.
You're thinking of bowl of nails for breakfast without any milk.
Yes, I am. But I said he's sleeping on a bed of nails. I didn't want to say he eats nails, too. It's a weird combination. He needs to do something other than nails.
But yeah, it is Rhino versus Rob Van Dam with Bill Alfonso for the television title. Rob Van Dam takes his sweet-ass time getting into the ring. Like, he just slaps hands around the ring like four times, it feels like.
Yes, but he also waits to come out onto the ramp. Like, we just said that he smokes weed for a living. Was he finishing up a joint backstage? And he's like, shit, my music is playing. I got to finish this real quick.
Well, they also, like, cut his promo time. So, like, I don't know what they're doing with him, but...
Yeah, I don't know. But he did take his sweet-ass time getting out.
Him coming out to Walk by Pantera is just cool.
Yeah.
It works good.
The real music just really does something for this.
Like, it's amazing when you don't give a shit about copyright how cool things can be.
Yeah, we wonder why this company went bankrupt.
That's not why.
It's one of them. It can't have helped.
I'm saying it actually did help because they didn't pay for any of the music, so.
Didn't they get sued?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't.
I would have assumed that somebody would have come after them.
Comment or tweet in if they did, because I can't think of that being a big reason for why they died. It was just having to pay for everything else and not making enough money.
I'm not saying that that was, like, the sole reason. I'm just saying, like, it can't have helped their financial situation.
I don't know if they ever got to. I think they might have been too small.
Maybe. Okay.
Actually, I'll put it this way. If they're still using Enter Sandman, they didn't get sued.
Fair.
That is the most litigious group of anybody they're using songs from, and they're still using it. I know WWE paid for it for at least the night in 2005. Match starts. They brawl immediately onto the floor. Rhino vaults Van Dam off the barricade to the floor. And they brawl through the crowd as the whistle just kind of looms.
Yeah, so Bill Alfonso is ringside. And there is a whistle, but it's not really that obnoxious.
I think we kind of talked about this previously, where because Van Dam's a face, I think he got told to turn it down.
Maybe.
Like, when it pisses off, it was Van Dam being a heel.
Oh, okay. I think I forget that part.
Rhino runs Van Dam into the barricade and then press slams him over the barricade and then asks, "Who's the fucking man?" Van Dam hits a spin kick into a chair into Rhino on the barricade and then hits a somersault plancha to the floor on Rhino. RVD jumps over Rhino in the ring and then hits a handspring, grabs a chair, and hits his running chair dropkick into the corner. And I apologize, I am forgetting my Van Damme-isms.
Oh, no.
I forget which one's the Van Damme-inator.
The Van Damme-inator.
I know Van Terminator is the big coast-to-coast one.
Okay.
I think OSW has joked the running dropkick to the corner is the Van Sarah Connor. Rhino hits a Brett's Rub clothesline to a midair Rob Van Dam, and Rhino hits a corner gore, and the crowd is actually getting alive for this one, because the crowd has not been the hottest throughout the night. It's been a weird vibe.
It has been a weird vibe. Like, they do pop... Occasionally.
When they pop big, but they're not popping often.
Yes, and I think the culmination of that happens in our main event.
They go back to the floor, Rhino grabs a table, he slides it in the ring, and then just like pulls another table that happens to be near ringside.
Yeah, where the hell
did
that table come from?
Rhino sets up a table in the corner and then locks in the first rest hold of the night. We're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't realize that there hadn't been any rest holds until this match. We're like, oh, fuck, they haven't stopped.
Yeah, if anything, the one match I would have thought maybe would have been the CW Anderson and Steve Corino match.
Yeah, but no. I mean, none of the matches have also been that long.
No, and admittedly, this is just to have a little chat. Like, this is not a long one.
This match didn't strike me as one that was, like, really well planned. Yeah. This and the main event, honestly.
Van Dam starts to come back, hits a float over spin kick. Van Dam hits another unnecessary backflip, and Rhino just counters a chair shot and hits a rolling slam and a moonsault. RVD hits a 5-star frog splash, but Rhino kicks out to just little fanfare.
Yeah, I mean, this whole match was kind of little fanfare.
I think we also need to just give a bit of shit here to the refs in ECW.
Well, they have the easiest job.
Yeah, and every count they do is just always feels so fast.
It does. You're right. That was a big note that we had while we were watching. Like, they really sped up the finishes, or the counts at least.
And that will come into the finish this match.
Mm-hmm.
Rhino hits a gore and pulls RVD to the apron, and Rhino then hits a fucking vicious apron pile driver through the table at ringside.
Oh my god, yeah. We backed up and watched that twice, because holy fuck. This is also where we notice that there is, like, no ringside room again. Like the ringside apron area is so narrow.
Yeah, and like Rido doesn't jump for it, which for some reason makes it look worse.
It just looks hard, and there's just no give.
Because like when he jumps, you kind of assume, okay, he's taking it like on his ass. Like here was like you just stepped. Oh fuck.
Yeah, you're dead now.
That's it. Back in the ring, Van Damme kicks out, and Fonzie hits a chair shot, and RVD hits a surprise Van Damminator. They set up for a Van Terminator, but for some reason, champion Justin Credible runs out, hits Rob Van Damme with a kendo stick, which kind of stops him, but then, nope, he just goes for it anyway.
Yeah.
And in our confusing spot of the night, he hits the Van Terminator, but apparently, Rhino has pulled Bill Alfonso's face in the way of the chair.
So Bill Alfonso gets hit.
Yes. Because RVD sells it. Rhino's up, like, immediately. He slams RVD through the table in the corner and hits a pile driver on the chair. And apparently there's a new ref because the original ref went after Justin Credible. And the new ref is a screwy ref. And they claim he did a fast count, but like it didn't feel fast in the moment because ECW just has faster counts.
But that spot was also really confusing because, like you said, RVD sold that he hit Bill Alfonso. But he sold it like it hurt him.
Well, I think it's just a big move that hurts to do. Like the five-star frog splash, he usually sounds like, okay, that hurt me a little bit.
But he sold it like so much that I'm like, is Bill Alfonso made of metal? Like,
yeah. But like it doesn't help that the difference between hitting it on Fonzie or hitting it on Rhino is like just like a little like head ducked.
Yeah.
And like it's behind a chair so you don't see it.
Yeah, it was weird. It was very quick and not well captured.
But yeah, so then it was a screwy ref and Rhino wins via shenanigans. But like I got the vibe Rob Van Dam was pretty out. Like Rhino put him through a table, hit a pile driver on a chair. I'm like, yeah, that would knock somebody out.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, you rolled them up. Like,
no, this is at least a believable, like,
yeah, KO. Ironically, this should have been a match of the fucking roll-up. You're going to do a screwy count. But
that's true.
Yeah, we see replays. Joey keeps going, oh, it was a fast count. And Rob Van Dam checks after Fonzie, who they like, treat this is, like, a shoot, and he's, like, died.
Oh, my God, yeah. And they linger on this for a while, too.
Yeah, like, they are going, like, oh, my God, like, I really hope he's okay. Like, this is, like, what? But if he did this to Rhino, it would have been absolutely fine.
Yeah, exactly. This was a weird match.
It was a good match to the finish.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was so much, huh?
Yeah. I have very mixed feelings about RVD as a wrestler. Like, I think I like him, but then there's times where I'm like, I don't know if you're my guy. I'm like, this one is like, I don't know.
To me, I'm surprised by that because he is like the definition of, I got a bunch of cool shit I'm going to do. And he ties it together pretty well, but
see, that's the thing. Like, he has a bunch of cool shit that he does, but it just looks like, here's a spot, here's a spot, here's a spot, done.
As opposed to Kid Cash, who you...
I never said that I love Kid Cash. Yeah. I liked him in that move because he did two cool flippy moves. But we've watched a lot more RVD than we've watched of Kid Cash. So I'm trying to like decide how do I feel about RVD.
I do have to laugh at... RVD is known for having some stiff kicks.
Mm-hmm.
I think he must know that and makes up for it with the lightest fucking clotheslines of like... Bat.
Yeah.
He might as well push him over. Oh, talk to Karen Angle.
Well, no, in this match, I didn't think they were that stiff.
No, just in general.
Okay.
Yeah, he is known for busting people open for real.
For realsies.
We then get Joey Styles and Cyrus starting to talk about the main event, but we gotta get another Bill Alfonso replay. Like, they are milking this.
Yeah, we really lingered on this one.
It's also a short show, we should mention.
Oh, yeah, it's only about two and a half hours?
Yeah, 2.5.
Yeah, it's a quick little pay-per-view. Because we're on to our main event already.
Yeah, like, I was like, did they cut something? Nope.
No.
But yeah, our main event tonight for the ECW title, it is Justin Credible with Francine versus Jerry Lynn.
Jerry Lynn.
Justin Credible comes out in a Brett Favre jersey, despite, I want to say in the promo earlier, he was wearing a different Packers jersey.
I really don't know.
I think it was number one in the backstage promo, and here it was number four, Brett Favre.
But doesn't Cyrus also make some incorrect football joke?
Oh, he mentioned something. Oh, he calls him David Culpepper. Was it Dante Culpepper?
Oh, whatever. And
yeah.
And then Joey Styles is like, oh, you're a big football fan, huh?
That said, do you know Brett Favre's current wrestling connection?
No.
He is currently suing Pat McAfee.
What did he do?
Which one?
Pat.
Pat reported on something that Brett Favre allegedly did in terms of like a welfare fraud case.
Oh.
And Brett Favre went, you can't talk about that, and sued him for defamation.
Good.
And Pat McAfee went on the air and was like, we're getting sued by Brett Favre because he's a piece of shit. And yeah, so I don't know what the current status of that is, but yeah, well, Brett Favre looked a little differently in 2025 than he is in 2000.
Yeah.
There's also pre Jets dick pic sending.
Oh, see, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Did he send dick pics?
Yep.
Oh.
To some staffer
on
the Jets.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, I don't like Brett Favre.
Yeah, I would say, well.
Did she ask for them? Are they unsolicited?
I forget the details, but I want to
say. Don't get sued by Brett Favre.
Anyway, a wrestling match.
Anyway, other men that probably suck.
No.
You never know. With wrestlers, and it's so long ago, you never know.
I think,
it's easier to hide skeletons in 2000.
Oh, actually, yeah. I'm like, I think Jerry Lynn's fine. I think Justin Credible is just a carny knacker and like rips off people.
Oh, okay. I'll take that.
Yeah, apparently Maven had him on his podcast or like or they some sort of video where Maven's like, yes, you've been being a piece of shit lately. And good old PJ Polacco, what the fuck his name is. Oh. Yeah. That's his shoot name.
I have watched a couple of clips of Maven, though, in his little podcast. And it's Maven is just desperate for attention.
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah. Shoot piece of shit, just incredible. It's also heel here, so. Yeah,
oh, perfect.
He also seems to get shoot rattled by a fan throwing beer at him.
Oh, yeah. I didn't catch him getting, like, rattled. But that's just ECW. They just throw stuff.
Yeah, but, like, it was, like, during the entrances, like, he seemed to get, like, I don't know. It seemed a little off. He's like, no, fuck that guy. They stall pre-match for a while. Justin Credible kisses this title belt, like, 20 fucking times pre-match.
And then so does
Francine.
She also, like, makes out with this thing.
They chain wrestle, and Lynn wins the exchange, which upsets Credible. The two trade corner chops, and both attempt each other's finishers, but are countered early on. Lynn hits a Brett's Row Bulldog, and then they slow it back down. Lynn throws Credible into the corner, and he just crashes to the floor unprompted. Like, it wasn't that hard an Irish whip.
No, but I guess it was, I don't know, selling?
Maybe it's on Jerry Lynn, because Jerry Lynn just kind of like, all right, you're going over. And Credible was like, whoa.
Maybe.
Lynn goes for a top rope dive to the floor and seems to, like, smash his arm on the guardrail, which I think that was just a shoot accident because that does not come up during this match.
No, but then he comes back up from it and you can kind of tell there is like a knot already on his elbow.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, that looked rough.
In the ring, Credible hits like a boss man slam type move and Francine slides a chair in the ring and Credible just kind of slams Jerry Lynn's face on it. Jerry Lynn ends up seated in the corner. Credible hits what is in the games is known as an alley-oop bomb, which I know is... An alley-oop is something different, but that's what's called in all the 2K games. All
right.
Hits it on a chair and then dumps Lynn to the floor. They trade strikes up the ramp, and then Credible rakes Jerry Lynn's face on some fencing that's like part of the stage. Back in the ring, Jerry Lynn DDTs Credible on a chair and gets inverted DDT shortly thereafter. Justin Credible then locks in a front chancery rest hold, which is just like a little like headlock kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just a headlock. We stay in this for a while.
Yeah, it's a front-facing headlock kind of thing, but yeah, they just lay there, and weirdly, normally when you're down, your partner or your manager will slam the mat, try to hype you up.
Yeah.
Francine is smashing the mat to, like, hype up Jerry Lynn, but I'm like, no, you're...
No, I think that she was... yeah, I know what you're talking, what you think.
That spot is for that.
I know, and, like, I get what you're saying. I think that she in the moment was doing it to be like, that's my guy, Justin, look at him win. I think that's what she was going for.
Yeah, it just don't do that.
Yeah.
I'm also realizing now, Dawn Marie did absolutely nothing during the Secret match.
No, no. She was just kind of there.
Mid-rest hold, Justin Credible goes to grab a mic and heels in the crowd, stomps Lynn, and then just goes right back to the rest hold.
Yeah.
Because, like, fans are throwing beer as well.
This is, like, the fans really kind of turned on this match. And the thing with ECW is you can really tell when the audience turns because the chants get a little bit more creative.
Yeah, there was a lot of chants at Francine and not the match.
She's a crack whore. You suck dick. Take your top off. No, well, show your boobs. Whatever.
It was, the creative one was show your implants.
Show your implants, yes. But there were just so many different chants that it's like, oh, yeah, you guys are not watching this match. You don't care. But it's also just such a slow-moving match. Usually when they stop a hold to, like, do a promo in the middle of a match, I'm down for it, like, sometimes, unless it's, like, fucking Kevin Nash. But that, like, starts something new happening. Like, the person who was down suddenly gets up and, like, gets the offense.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
Yeah, it's meant to be, like, a spot, not a random promo in the middle of your match.
Yeah, this really felt like Justin Credible was feeling the audience turn, and he's like, nah, I need to get some more heel heat. Fuck Minneapolis. Like,
which could work. And then you would go back to rest hold, and he goes, yeah. Oh, well, that doesn't work. They trade pin attempts, including a bridge, until a spinning DDT from Credible. Lynn hits a tornado DDT on the chair in the ring and goes to work on Credible in the corner. Lynn guillotine leg drops Credible into the second rope and then hits a diving leg drop from the top rope, which I think Joey Styles calls like a Minneapolis jam or something. Mm.
Everything has a fun name.
Well, it's based off a Tennessee jam.
Oh, well, that's also everything has a fun name.
Yeah. Lynn sets up a table in the ring and he goes to put Justin Credible on it. And Credible just kind of easily lays there, which it's only made up for by the fact that when Jerry Lynn goes up top, Francine stops him and Credible like immediately gets up and throws Jerry Lynn through it for a two count. Lynn crotches Credible, but Credible hits a hard sunset flip from the top rope. It was like, oh yeah, you kind of land on your head there. Credible goes for a that's incredible tombstone pile driver, but Lynn slips out, hits a cradle pile driver for only a two count. Jerry Lynn then goes for a that's incredible, but Justin Credible slips back, hits one of his own for another two count. The ref gets accidentally super kicked and Jerry Lynn rolls up Credible, but apparently crooked referee Danny Daniels won't count three and flips off Jerry Lynn.
Yeah, it was just kind of confusing who he was like in there for.
Well, it was also just confusing because it was so quick. Literally, like, he gets super kicked and then the roll up and the guy's already here.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, and
that's the thing that like WCW and WWF does a little bit better. Of like when another referee is coming in, you see them running down. Like you can see that another ref is on their way. This guy just kind of was like, he spawned essentially.
Yeah, and we didn't know it was apparently the same ref from the last match until it was like, oh, he's not going to count three.
Right.
Oh, good. Francine then kendo sticks Lynn after he goes after Danny Daniels and Credible hits a title belt shot, but Jerry Lynn kicks out of a fast count and then kicks out of like a couple more fast counts. So like putting over that like fighting spirit. Jerry Lynn goes for a cradle pile driver, but referee Danny Daniels just hits him with a kendo stick, stopping it. It's like, okay, well, I guess we have a face commissioner. Where the fuck is Spike Dudley?
Where's Spike? Come on down.
And then to add to it, Justin Credible hits another that's incredible. And here's the count from Danny Daniels. 1, 2, fuck you. Which we were like, wait, is he swerving on Credible?
Yeah, I really thought that this was another swerve. Like, actually, no, neither of you get to win.
Yeah, and then it was a count three, but music hits, and he just stops counting. Despite the fact that Jerry Lynn is still down.
I always hate that spot where it's like, music, I'm rendered frozen. Like, finish the count. The music will still be playing in a second.
Yeah, and they also, like, it was a clean count. It wasn't, like, a fast count. It was, like, when he beat him, like, kind of clean. I think it was slower because of the fuck you.
Right.
But it's New Jack's music that hits.
Oh, I don't know, man.
Joey Styles notes he was supposed to be the referee in this match, but got, like, beat down on a previous show. New Jack takes out Danny Daniels with, like, a cookie sheet. Credible then stops New Jack from basically murdering Danny Daniels because New Jack more or less pulls out, like, a scythe.
It was a scythe.
Or
at least it looked like a scythe.
A sickle. That's what it is.
A sickle?
You like the hammer and sickle for the like the Russian flag?
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever knew that's what it was called.
Yeah. Basically, it's a fucking blade and it's going to murder Danny Daniels.
Yeah.
So Credible stops that.
Good.
Jerry Lynn and Credible then trade That's Incredible counters. And Jerry Lynn turns his into a cradle pile driver. And the original referee is now up and counts the pin. So your new ECW champion, Jerry Lynn.
Okay. What a fucking bizarre match.
To add to it, Jerry Lynn celebrates with New Jack. Crowd loves it. Jerry Lynn grabs a mic as the locker room comes out to the ring, and the mic doesn't work at first. So all the wrestlers try to troubleshoot it. And
all the wrestlers, no production guy comes in and is like, let me fucking look at it. Like, Mikey Whipwreck has the mic in his hand, like, I'll fix it. Like,
he at least used to work on, like, the ring crew.
Oh,
and
did he?
Production. Well, that's how he got his start.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He wanted to be a wrestler and was like, I'm going to join the crew. And it worked out. Mikey Whipwreck is the boomer dream of, why don't you just go in and see if they're hiring?
Yeah, honestly.
Just get any job and work your way up. That's sad. He's great. I don't want to dismiss him. But, I'm like, do you guys only have one microphone in the fucking building?
Yeah, and then somebody gets out of the ring and like runs off. I'm like, run to commentary, steal one of their microphones.
New Jack chucks the baking tray he used weapon into the crowd.
Yeah, like at this point, all the locker room is in the ring with Jerry Lynn, and they're all just
all
kind of
like faces.
Yeah, all the faces. They're all just kind of trying to fill time and like celebrate and you know, talk. New Jack just grabs his cookie sheet and just yeets it into the crowd to just like fill time, I guess, and get people to be happy. I don't know.
Jerry Lynn keeps posing for photos of like
They just give up. They give up on the mic. They're like, fuck it.
Yep, we just go to the post package. No promo. It's just like 15 seconds of like a like
troubleshooting, and then somebody in the back's like, "Fuck it,"
or just like replays from like from a bit of the main event. Like, all right, that's it.
Yeah,
and yeah, we just go off the air.
That's it. That's the show.
Thoughts on this match?
So slow. This match was so slow and boring until the ending.
It was a 10-minute match stretched out to 20.
Yes.
Because I think this does go like 19 minutes.
I think you're right.
And yeah, just they had a good first act and a good but messy third act. I think after the That's Incredible, just have New Jack's music hit as opposed to the weird fuck you count. Where I'm almost wondering, did they mistime that and the ref had to call an audible?
Is that why he did the fuck you?
Yeah.
Maybe. That's possible. Yeah, because it was very weird. And it was in that moment where we were both like, whoa, another swerve? Like,
I think one thing we say for production night, they're not on their fucking A game. Ooh, so
absolutely not.
Yeah, this match, I think it might have gotten like the highest Meltzer rating of the night. I disagree.
Yeah, I don't think so at all.
And like, I get Credible's a heel champion, so it's going to be hoops jump through. But like, the heel referee is such a fucking tired trope.
Yeah, especially when they do it in a kind of weird way like this.
Because it's also like, he's just a heel ref in that he's a heel. He's not like, I don't get the vibe, he's aligned with Just Incredible. Right. It's just, I'm an asshole.
Right.
It's like, okay.
That's not as fun.
That said, good for Jerry Lynn, especially with this company on its last legs. Oh, like, he gets to be a world champion.
For a second.
And like, you know, he's worked hard, he earned it. Like, I don't look at him and go like,
fucking you?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
That's it. We only have 3 original ECW pay-per-views left after this.
Yeah, so we're going to be dipping back into this 3 more times.
Yes, and then after the third time, we will be doing One Night Stand 2005, but that is a WWE product.
Right.
But thoughts on this show as a whole, then?
I like stepping into ECW. It makes me, you know, happy. But it's just, it's so different from WCW. It's such a different product.
It also just feels so different from, like, the last time we were here. Yeah. Or 2 times. Like, every, like, 2 times ago feels like, what is happening here?
It's a breath of fresh air. It is exactly what you called it at the beginning. It's a reprieve. So like when you're saying if you don't want to watch WWF, here are your 2 options. There's the carny option and there's the get fucked option. And I think it's easy to say which one's which, but there's no other word but different. And it's fun. Like when it's good, it's so good. When it's bad, it's like, ugh. Like I could do without, you know, forks and staple guns. But it is, if you don't want to watch WWF, and you're not a child, so you don't want to watch WCW, this works.
Yeah, I will say, they still maintain the variety of the show.
Mm.
Where I'm like, I do feel like each match is like vastly different from the others.
That's true.
Like, say, like we don't like the Balls Mahoney match, but like it was something different.
It was for somebody. Yeah, you're right. There is a good amount of variety in the show. I sometimes think with ECW that all the matches are kind of the same because they're all fucking extreme, hardcore. But yeah. No, not necessarily. I think I'm wrong for that.
I think that is the one misconception that I think is like starting to clear up nowadays. But
good.
But with that, do you want to go into best bit, worst bit, and MVP? I have a hunch it's going to be a clean sweep.
I don't know what your worst bit's going to be, but I think you're right.
Emily, what is your best bit?
It's the tag match, FBI versus Whipwreck and Tajiri.
Yes.
Which my notes kept autocorrecting Whipwreck to Shipwreck.
Yep, I gotta agree. I think that is the
100%. That was the best match.
The most fun match.
So fun. And it's just fun to see Tajiri absolutely in his element, too.
Emily, what about your worst bit?
Staple gun.
Okay, I'm just giving it to that match as a whole. Are you only doing staple gun?
The match as a whole, yeah. The match as a whole. But the staple gun was the proverbial nail in the coffin.
Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't a good match. We didn't see half of it. And
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Just that brand of hardcore we don't like.
I can't do it.
And then Emily, MVP.
I probably Tajiri, I guess.
No. Yeah, probably. How dare you?
There's no one else.
No, it's Tajiri.
It's Tajiri.
Look, that match was already good, but the fact that we were gushing over Tajiri the whole time, it's Tajiri.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm not really sure who would even be second. Like there wasn't a close second.
Rhino did well. I did like him in a spot.
Rhino scared me.
Exactly. That's an effective promo.
I guess, yeah. Well, I guess that's it for our ECW jaunt.
Yeah. Our next one of these is November to Remember.
November to Remember?
Yeah.
Is that as bad as December to Dismember?
They were going off each other. We have November to Remember, Massacre on 34th Street, then Guilty as Charged, and that's it for ECW.
Okay.
But that is not next for us. Next up is our return to the land of non-Russo Nitros.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what that's going to look like.
And we're going down under.
Oh, is Australia next?
Yes.
Oh, fun.
Because he doesn't go with them.
And well, that's the yeah, thing. We knew that.
So yeah, we have two Australia Nitros, one more regular one, and then Halloween Havoc, which Ooh. Means in universe, we've only been doing 2 years worth of shows.
What?
Because 98 is when we started.
Oh my God.
I know.
That's crazy. We've been doing this for almost 5 years.
Yes, our anniversary episode will be Mayhem. It lines up nice like that. But
I always think of Halloween Havoc as our anniversary episode because we started with Halloween Havoc.
I think it did work out 1 year too.
Yeah. Well, it would have had to have been last Halloween Havoc.
Yes, but that was the 2 year podcasting anniversary.
Mm, okay.
So it has taken us 3 years almost to go the 1 year.
And a half.
Well, we also started going the actual weekly shows.
True. Yeah.
And all the side series. And
oh, man. 5 years, man.
You want to listen to any of the last 5 years, including all the ECW episodes, or any of the Russo Nitros, or, you know, all of it? It's all available everywhere podcasts are found, except for SoundCloud. You can follow us on social media at Butts in the Pod or Butts and Seats Podcast, depending on where you're looking. Also, we've got a couple comments on like Spotify and YouTube. We do see them, so if you want to let us know mm-hmm. stuff there, feel free.
Yeah, we don't really talk about our YouTube very much. We do upload these podcasts in just audio. We don't record video on YouTube, so if that's where you listen to your podcasts, we're there too. And if you feel so inclined, we do have our Patreon, patreon.com/buttsintheseats. $5 a month. We are coming to the end of our TNA new Monday Night Wars run. We have one more pay-per-view to look at for TNA, but we also have a couple of WrestleMania reviews. We have a book report for fucking Controversy Creates Cash. I suffered through that, so you should suffer with me. Yeah, whole bunch of stuff over there. $5 a month gets you all of it.
Yeah, over 30 bonus episodes. Yeah. So, yeah, subscribe, try it out, see what you like, and if you hate it, cancel.
Then cancel. No skin off our back, it's
but
fine.
But Emily does cry when people cancel, so
I do, and I get very that. Excited when people subscribe.
She has woken me up to be like, Nick.
Yeah, I have. It gets so excited.
Emily, any closing thoughts before we go back to the world of WCW?
This was a nice little break.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't want to go back.
Hey, it's a whole new world. And by whole new world, I mean it's the world we've been to a bunch of times before.
But we're back. And better than ever?
But until we're back and we'll see how we're doing, I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts and Seats Podcast.
Bye.